It's a year where things are changing in our country. The moral fabric of our country is being questioned. There appears to be everything Dr. King talked about, the militarism, the materialism, etc., seems to be going strong, and our community citizens are being left behind.
Do you want to get a little bit more deep on that, or give me a couple of examples?
Well, the Congress passed, the president asked for a very large increased military budget. Congress gave him even more than he asked for. And they continue then to go on and cut taxes for the wealthiest. And our children, our grandchildren, will be put in $1.5 trillion of debt by the next decade. So that, to me, has nothing to do with the well-being of our country, our citizens, etc.
And something was just released this past week about people who had been granted temporary immunity or temporary citizenship, that it seems like it's having huge repercussions in human rights communities.
Absolutely. The Haitian community, the El Salvadorian community, all of these people were given some relief when trauma occurred in their countries. And now we're saying, go home. The DACA students, some of them have been here when they were months old, and now we're telling them they can't stay. Those students are American. They're students who came over with their parents, and they may have the parents may have come over illegally, but at this point, these kids are students. They're citizens of the United States. I've had students in my class who said, you have no idea how you can't raise your voice, how you can't be seen. I think that is changing. I know the students are becoming much more active about saying, wait a minute, they don't even have an accent. They're much more American and understand what the United States is supposed to be about than some of our students whose parents have been here maybe for a couple of more generations.
So here we are in this situation where if you care about human rights at all, things seem really rocky and people are being attacked from all different levels. And this MLK conference, which happens every year, how does it help people arm themselves or take action in a situation where a lot of people feel helpless?
I think the issue and what Dr. King wanted more than anything was to educate people on what it's like to not be in the forefront of opportunity. And so what the conference tries to do is give people information, arm them with some understanding so that they can go about making the changes that they feel are important to make our nation strong. And we cannot possibly be strong leaving people behind, not educating, not allowing people to claim their identity and their belief system in a way that allows them to incorporate with others in this nation.
So say I'm walking in and I'm just a white person who isn't connected. I'm a straight, white, cisgendered person. What might I be like, or what might be different for me walking out of this conference?
Hopefully you'll have grown in understanding of how people have struggled. Hopefully you will understand your part in that struggle, how accepting the way things are allows us just to continue not seeing what needs to be seen to make the changes, to make the country strong, successful, healthy. those sorts of things. I think that you will, if you're open to learning, you can learn a lot in this conference.
Barbara, some people might be hearing this and the conference has already happened, so let's talk about how we can continue that work. But one thing I want to latch on to what you said is accepting where we are in order to change. I don't want to accept where we are, and I'm not the only person who looks at the world and looks at our government and says, I don't want this, I don't like this, and I don't want to accept it.
So in that way, if you don't want to accept it, part of what's happening is people are stymied for trying to figure out where they go next. I think one of the things the conference does is give you some understanding. There are a lot of people out there who realize what is going on is not right, is not normal, is not natural for humanity to survive. And that connection gives us hope. And I think we can't move forward without any hope. We have to envision a future that we believed in, the freedoms that we thought were available to us are not available to everybody.
I hear that. And obviously, if you listen to our show, you know that there are people who do not have the same opportunities now. There are huge injustices now. I know this conference did not or could not change that. Obviously, MLK conference once a year is not enough to affect change. What happens now?
There are things happening in Bellingham right now. There are a number of different groups that are trying to organize. There is a city MLK, and Trula will be talking.
Trula Nickel.
That's it. It's at Mount Baker Theater, and Kulshan Kaur sings. It also connects you to people who understand what Dr. King was talking about and why this is so important we come together as community, and which was what Dr. King wanted, you know, more than anything. One of the things I do want to talk about with the conference, and I know that some people will have missed this, is that we do have a group of women of color who will be doing our keynote. And these are all people who live in our community. So they're going to make a contribution to our community by explaining to people what it's been like for them and the experiences that they've had, whereas some of us may not have ever run into anything or have seen it. When I think these folks will talk, one of the things that's going to happen is our awareness is raised, and we can start seeing things that maybe we bypassed or didn't pay attention to in the past that happen right in front of us, and we then learn how to make changes. We change the situation, whatever's going on at that moment.
And you'd have to be under a rock at this point not to know about the rampant sexism in every single profession, not just Hollywood, but every single profession has rampant sexism, and places where women are attacked, women of color are even more shut down and shut out in day-to-day existence. So it sounds like having a fishbowl experience where a group of women of color is talking and everybody else remains silent is a good way to kind of challenge that balance of power.
Yes. And then the women are very open to taking questions from the audience after that. So it will be somewhat of a dialogue after their initial experiences and their own expression of what is going on. And so I think that dialogue is what's really important also.
You were talking about hope, and we're talking about a group of women of color speaking and giving people the opportunity to be silent and actually listen, which is powerful. We're very close to the anniversary of the gigantic National Women's March, however you pronounce that. And a lot of people felt that hope that you're talking about, Barbara Rothgar. And yet people went back to work or didn't work, depending on their situation, or were not able to find work, or were not able to find housing. How do you maybe not maintain that level of hope, but how do you kind of capitalize on, once people feel that hope, turning it into action after the conference?
I think that, I'm looking at it as once you learn and see people who are really just like us and some of the things that they have done, then it makes you realize you can pick up the phone, you can call a senator, you can call a representative, you can write a letter, you can write a letter to the editor, you can do things, you can march I just read a letter recently where someone was talking about Iran and their economic system and how many of the young people have not got work, and they're out on the streets. You know, when does Bellingham go out on the streets? And we did last year. We did go out on the streets. And I think the nation as a whole needs to understand that we are not here for the 1%, that we are here for all of us. And the question is, how did they get so wealthy? How did they take everything so that people are paid and have to live on tips or what have you to survive? That makes no sense. And it is not that they've worked harder. They've been privileged, and they don't see that privilege, unfortunately. And it's maybe us that needs to see the privilege and strike out to kind of show them how what that privilege has meant and how they need to become part of our community.
That itself is powerful and hopeful. What organizations could people connect with, or how can people connect, especially if they missed the conference?
Well, there's Whatcom Peace and Justice Center. There's our Human Rights Task Force. There is Indivisible is another one. There are any number of organizations. And actually, we will have many tables at the conference of nonprofits that will be giving information out. So there'll be jobs for justice. Housing is a big issue.
Bellingham Tenants Union, maybe.
Right.
Bellingham,
right,
Racial,
yes,
Justice Coalition.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. All of those will have tables at the conference where you can get information, you can become a part of what they are doing, and feel empowered just by being with community.
And I know the Human Rights Task Force, which, full disclosure, I used to be on the steering committee decades ago. They had sort of shrunk as an organization for several years, and really the MLK conference was the one big thing that they focus on. Yeah. But now things are changing with the Human Rights Task Force.
Yes, you know, with the invasion of Iraq, you started to understand that what was happening, where we were spending our money, and how we were dealing with people overseas, we actually didn't realize we're dealing with them the same way here. And so I think what's happened over time is we combined with the Whatcom Peace and Justice Center because we felt our issues were very similar, whether they're in a foreign country or whether they're here. And with the election, this last election, and I have to say, I think with Obama, people felt like there would be changes, and yet those changes did not occur. There wasn't a reduction in the military. That money did not come back to education, to health care, to our infrastructure, et cetera. All of those things I think many people felt were possible did not happen. Therefore, I think that what's happened is that people realize they have to stand up. If there is ever going to be change, we actually have to stand up.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What kinds of things? Can you give us a hint as to what to expect from the Peace and Justice, Human Rights Task Force in the future?
Well, we, one, hope to do films, hope to do a book club. We have an intercultural dinners that a group are working on to try to bring different community groups together and learn more about each other. We're talking about having some folks come up and maybe do a workshop or a lecture on things that are going on, whether we get them from Seattle or Vancouver, et cetera. Just so people will have an understanding. The other thing I want to just say real quickly is that Bellingham Human Rights Film Festival is the last 2 weeks of February, and the films are all free. They're all about human rights around the world and in the United States, and they're in different locations. So you can, and they usually have a speaker that can help people understand maybe what they can do, if they have questions about the film, et cetera. It's another wonderful way to be part of the global community in a positive way.
So maybe you'll come back and tell us a little bit more about that coming up in February. Barbara Rothgar, thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you for asking me.